In this episode, you will learn how AI can provide 24/7 personalized support to help you navigate abusive situations safely. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
This week, we had Anne Wintemute on the show, and we had a great conversation about her AI tool, Amy Says, and how it offers support to victims of intimate partner violence with personalized 24/7 assistance, its role in countries like the US, UK, and Australia, its safety features, and Anne's plans for its growth. I hope this episode is valuable to anyone who might be listening. Stay tuned for the full episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, Anne Wintemute is joining us. Anne is currently serving as the co-founder and CEO of Amy Says, an AI tool that supports victims of intimate partner violence with personalized 24/7 assistance. Today, Anne and I will be discussing how Amy Says, an AI tool, supports victims of intimate partner violence with personalized 24/7 assistance, its role in countries like the US, UK, and Australia, and its adaptability to cultural nuances, Amy Says Foundation, safety features, and Anne's plans for its growth. Welcome, Anne.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much, Heather.
Well, I am really looking forward to this conversation. I am so not a tech person. And what I've learned, which I know is just such a little bit about your program, about Amy Says, it just blows my mind. So I cannot wait for our listeners to learn more, because I think this is just a game changer for victims, women overall in the world. And for our listeners, would you share a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Absolutely. My background is in working with women who are experiencing post-separation abuse. So they knew there was something wrong with the relationship and, you know, everyone told them they needed to end it. So they do. And unfortunately, they quickly learn about the ways in which the abuse will continue. So all of the folks that I worked with were in some form of custody litigation and custody evaluation, which becomes the new battleground for people who choose to engage in abusive behaviors. Working with those clients, you know, about the time I was really getting my, you know, my feet under me, generative AI came out. So Amy does kind of what I did, just a lot better in 95 countries and 80 plus languages and for 10,000 people at the same time.
And I mean, that's a huge thing. Like you said, and then AI came along. So then there's Amy Says. Like, I mean, come on, that's huge. And like, what was your inspiration and how, like, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into the, you know, how you did it, but like, what inspired you to even like take this on and create such an amazing thing?
Yeah, I mean, there is so much hurt and destruction that's caused by people who choose to engage in abusive behaviors. And I do want to say, when we talk about domestic violence or intimate partner violence, we mean all of it. We're not just talking about physical violence. You know, what we know is that most abusers use that sparingly and many not at all. It's other kinds of destructive behaviors, right? It's financial abuse. It's mental and psychological. It's your covert narcissism, your overt narcissism. I want to make sure that everybody listening knows that it's a broad category. We know not everybody uses the term domestic violence to describe their own experience. But these kinds of behaviors have horrific effects. And then in the context of surviving that and trying to overcome it, these folks are thrown into often these legal spaces. They thought the system would protect them, but now the abuser is trying to take custody of the kids. And there are no real resources. And the need is not just like, yes, I need a therapist. And my therapist can provide a diagnosis and a treatment plan and see me 1 hour a week, right? I have legal needs. I have justiciable needs. And my attorney can help me with those. But many of my legal access questions and understanding don't actually need to be provided by the kind of limited time that an attorney has. So these folks get thrown into a space where they have to become instant experts, right? In a place they never thought that they were going to be, which means their needs are persistent hourly sometimes, right? And, you know, humans could never accommodate that, but AI can. Right. So the advent of generative AI created a new opportunity where we could use technology to provide broad scope and highly scalable and modifiable and personifiable support. So I had to. It's the ethical choice.
Well, it's amazing. And I'm certainly glad you did. And that'll be for another conversation, like that whole thing, like how that happened and how you created it. Because I really want our listeners to understand, you know, what it does. And I mean, we don't have to know this, but who is Amy? Like, why is that the name? Exactly. That's a good business person.
I think that most people would tell you that the business name origins, frankly, if they could. So AIs, A-I-M-E-E, right? AI and me. Amy also means beloved in French. And we want to share that, you know, the self-love and support as far and wide as we can.
All right. So who is Amy Says For? Let's start there.
Amy Says is actually for anyone who is concerned there might be some red flags or unhealthy dynamics in their relationship as early as the first date. Right? Amy is viral in the space of protective parents, people in the post-separation abuse community, because that's when the crisis is most significant and the resources are most disparate or just non-existent. Amy's ability is to help people identify and choose how they want to respond to controlling behaviors in the context of an intimate relationship. That could be dating. A couple of dates. We've been dating for a few years. We live together. We don't live together. That can be during marriage. We know a lot of our users, they're not ready to leave. They don't want to. They're trying to find coping mechanisms to get them through 5 more years before their children are able to leave the house, for example, right? Amy is a confidant that can help mitigate the impacts of especially emotional and psychological abuse so it's not as harmful, can help people cope with it as it's happening so it's not so harmful. And then folks who are in the divorce process or they're post-decree, but they have a high risk of landing back in court in the future. Those users are most likely to upgrade to a subscription.
And who should not use this tool?
People who are abusive and want to affirm their abusive tactics. You won't find it particularly beneficial because it is programmed to be real boring for you. Amy is anti-pathology. She's anti-victim blaming. She will hold anyone. She will call out abusive behaviors, even if it's the victim adult who is engaging in those. She'll do so gently, like, oh, I can understand why that happened in that situation. It sounds like it, you know, maybe contributed or escalated. How might you want to handle that differently in the future? So the feedback that we get is, and what was intentional in it, was to make it not an exciting tool for someone who is looking for ways to further leverage their abuse against a partner.
Got it. So how, let's talk about how you use it, and then we'll get into some more. Is this something that is, you know, you just type in the web address and app, like the logistics of getting there?
What's the first step? www.amysays.com. We only have a web-based app right now. The mobile app should be out in 25. You'll click to meet Amy, which is at the top of the screen. It'll take you directly to a chat. And then how to not use Amy is like it's a Google search engine, because you're really missing out on the fact that it's a whole lot more powerful than that. How you do use Amy is conversationally. Use your natural language. We can't see what people say to Amy, and we can't see what Amy says back. You have confidentiality. You have privacy. Have the conversation like you're having it with a person. Amy's programmed to take the pertinent information that you've introduced, to respond in a validating manner, and then to continue the conversation with a follow-up question. She does a lot of the kind of lifting and driving for the users, but that only works if you engage in the conversation.
Right. And there's more than one version, right? Because there is a free version. Is that correct?
There is. We will always keep access to free, robust chat features. This is mission-based work. We are trying to help people identify abuse earlier, leave relationships sooner, prevent futures of abuse. And we know that those folks are unlikely to convert to a subscription. That will always be free. What you're talking about, the two different types of accounts, the other is to upgrade. We have two plans. One is $5 a month. One is $20 a month. We are talking very accessible. And those give you options like document upload, chat history and memory. Amy remembers who you are between chats. And you can do some really pretty complex work that is kind of, you know, mentally, emotionally, and legally supportive.
Yeah, that just blows me away. And it's great. So let's talk about, like, you're using it now that everybody knows, like, how to get there, what it is. Is this something that, say, you can just tell it, like, either read into a text or an email just to ask and see what, you know, Amy says, Is this indicative of maybe an abusive relationship, some course of control, things like that?
Absolutely. We know our very first feature when we kind of betaed, could AI actually do a good job at this? It was a really simple platform where you could cut paste a message from your ex or your current partner that you were concerned mm-hmm. about. You could type in a little bit of context. He said this, but actually this thing happened. And then you could click a button, generate report, and it would produce instantaneously the most validating report ever. And it would assess the message for both overt, obvious, he called me an XYZ, obvious forms of coercive behavior, and the subtle things, right? This is actually a form of financial abuse because he said he wasn't going to pay for the braces if you didn't schedule the appointment on his time. He's withholding his financial support in exchange for your unnecessary, unrequired compliance on something else. So, you know, it's really, really powerful. And we've trained her, of course, to assess across an entire spectrum of coercive behavior. And then you can click a button and it would produce a reply. That is still available with Amy.
Absolutely. And because that's a thing like that we used to do many years ago and sometimes still as attorneys, you know, the clients and you need, what do I say? What do I say? Especially early on. Because there's that anxiety, you know, and we're talking for our listeners, like for us as the family law attorneys, like you're in it. So you know you're in litigation, you know the spotlight's on. And feel like intuitively that you may be being baited. So you're wanting some help. And plus, you know, we've advised you, like, be careful, watch your word, you know, watch everything, because everything gets scrutinized and can be taken out of context. And, you know, that's, you know, it is what it is, right? We're like, yes, we'll help. But like, right, attorney's fees for you to be spending, not really, like, we can help, but it's from a legal standpoint. Is certainly, and for, you know, what we know is going to help you strategically in the legal setting, maybe not the most therapeutic thing, not the best, because that's not what we are. We're not therapists. And it's so hard for clients and women going through this they understand, but yet they just want that help. And so now they can ask Amy, like, how do I respond to this? Right. And she's going to help them.
Yes. And she's trained to use unemotional language to pull out, you know, what's necessary. Mm-hmm. What is actually about the child, be non-responsive to debate, right? So I need to show a message to my attorney if it has direct legal implications. He's saying, yes. I can't do this thing. Am I allowed to do this thing? Is that inconsistent or consistent with our orders? That's a call for your attorney. Your attorney shouldn't be saying, take douchebag out of your message. You don't want to pay hundreds of dollars an hour to have your messages scrubbed, essentially, right?
Correct,
you want to
yeah.
know what the legal necessities are, but not scrub those messages. And the vast majority of messages are not directly tied to the legal issues, indirectly. For example, like, is it clear that this party doesn't like the other party? Because that's not going to look good in a custody evaluation. So we make sure that those messages that Amy is going to draft do not, you know, directly or indirectly convey a disdain for the other party.
Right.
I'm being as delicate as I can. And that is, it's incredibly valuable. It provides consistency in communication. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, in my work with, you know, supporting people undergoing custody evaluations is, don't ever make that mistake that makes it so, you know, so an evaluator or an attorney or your ex could be like, well, look, she did it here too. The mm-hmm. thing she's accusing me of, she did it here. You don't want to invalidate your entire case by, you know, being overly emotional when Amy can scrub that for you.
Yes. And that is, you know, I think like it's just is an amazing tool. And also, you know, and I've heard you speak on it, right? Okay. For someone in this type of relationship, and I'm just going to say you're in litigation or post, because then, right, maybe you do have, you know, therapists involved and attorneys. However, you know, your team of experts is, you know, getting more and more expensive and you've been through a lot and you're still going through it, right? And so like what I heard you talk about is how Amy says can answer a lot of the stuff that you really need some help with that. And I don't want to say common sense to make it appear as if it's that easy, because when you're in it, it's not. I recognize that, because also you're coming with that trauma, right? That history, and that colors everything.
It really does.
And a lot of times, like, you need to respond, right? Holidays, evenings, weekends.
Yes. And you know, your therapist is trained for very specific use and purpose. Your attorney is trained for very specific use and purpose. And mm-hmm. I think the satisfaction levels with those two professionals is impacted by the client's unrealistic expectations of what that person is able to do for them. Clients will perseverate, chew on a particular detail repeatedly over and over when their attorney is asking them a specific question. Right?
Right.
Now, instead of frustrating both parties in that example, you know, they can go, my attorney's asking me this question, help me figure out my response to this. And Amy will send them through a series of questions, right? Okay, tell me about these kinds of things. Tell me about these kinds of things. And at the end, it's like, okay, something that I can send to my attorney, you know, and you can cut and paste that. And now we've hit the important pieces of information that your attorney actually needs in order to be able to help you. Right? Without, and while kind of reducing some of the friction that can arise in that relationship, because trauma and issues with executive functioning and trying to achieve legal goals do not mix. They are not particularly hand in hand.
Right. Because, and I think that's what is, you know, which certainly I've seen in my experience, it's because of the trauma and what they've been through. I think that it makes it harder for them to always accept, like sometimes, just like you said, they're, and you use a really fancy word, like they're just, you know, it's like they keep churning on the same issue, on the same question. And I know there's a lot of, you know, neuropsychology with that too, right? It's like, it's ruminating. If they had their, Amy says, maybe that would, just because of what you've put into it, right? Because it's specifically based
absolutely
for the victims, right? Which is so different than anything out there in AI, I'm guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you're talking about, you know, that perseveration, the rumination, those are the visible attributes of trauma.
Right. Yeah.
They're real. They're real in the severity and like impact on the, you know, the cognition of the survivor. And they're real in terms of their impact on the survivor's ability to access, you know, whatever else it is that they need to access. And they come from this place of trying to make sense of a thing that doesn't make sense, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is one of the ways, you know, that kind of cognitive dissonance is what's so harmful about abuse. You know, it's not, it can be resolved by validation. His number one attribute is she's going to validate you. And that is so helpful at alleviating the rumination and the perseveration so that you can overcome that part and do the next thing. That is her, like, best skill. That is the most transformational thing she does, is she resolves some of that dissonance. She helps people step away from that rumination and perseveration. Then she provides kind of a variety of options and information and asks the next agency building question. Do any of these sound interesting to you? Do you want to take a look at any one of these things? And that is how Amy is able to help people who are living their worst nightmare and constantly triggered. They have PTSD. That is how she helps them continue forward against the most arduous obstacle.
Oh, now this is available 24/7. And in any language?
So yes, she speaks 80 plus languages. The interface of the website is in English, but you can even use her as a translator. Hey, I'm talking to someone in Urdu. He speaks Urdu. These are the, you know, this is the information I need to gather. Can you ask her some questions? She'll gather that in Urdu and then translate that back into English. The language capacities of AI is incredible. And it's so like singularly access granting. I'm thrilled to be a part of it.
Now, and also it's mostly being used in the US, UK, and Australia. Is that correct?
Yeah, our greatest base of users is in the United States. And then Canada and the UK are the next. We also see lots in New Zealand and Australia, you know, as these are all countries who've kind of formalized and codified some rights for survivors.
And so do you think that's why you're seeing it more there? Maybe there's just more knowledge or an understanding that this at least exists. So maybe it helps people look for help.
I would have to speculate, but I'm happy to, whether that's culturally, I can talk about this because culturally this is not, you know, totally acceptable here, or, you know, these are justiciable issues in my country. That's going to grow people's interest in finding, or, you know, building towards that in a space where I have no legal rights, where speaking up is unsafe in any context. People are disincentivized from learning more about their situations. With that said, we do have a substantial number of users in countries with present and historically oppressive, rigid gender views and views about gender roles. And what we notice there is that their usership is between like 2 and 3 a.m. their time.
Okay.
So these are, we presume these are people who in moments of privacy and confidence are are trying to better understand their situations.
And that's amazing, right? Because otherwise they can't, there may not be any other option, you know, but this at least can hopefully help them through that. Now, you also mentioned that Amy says understands the cultural nuances, and I find this fascinating. So I would love for you to unpack that, explain that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, caveat, much of AI is trained off of, you know, English text. There is, you know, cultural bias that persists in that. And, you know, bias training is, or solving for bias issues is kind of an active space of ethical AI use. With that said, Amy is designed, and if you have an account, there's even a special spot to like describe cultural differences, spiritual backgrounds, you know, other kind of faith dimensions, whatever, in order to make sure that those things are being taken into consideration. But Amy is designed to draw the potential cultural aspects when she becomes aware that those might be present. The multi kind of intersections of being marginalized are, you know, exacerbate the impacts of domestic violence. So if you are also poor, also an immigrant, also don't speak a language, the impacts and the available resources are different. It's critical for Amy to do a good job to make sure that she is able to interpret and support those intersections.
Now, if let's talk about this, because I did hear you speak on this, and I think it's important for the users to know, because we did talk about confidentiality, because that is a big thing. And so on the free version, say you're going to go in and ask for help. Like, how do I handle, I guess I'm going to use the example you did and then you can delve into it. How do I handle this upcoming exchange? You know, he said X, Y, Z, or I anticipate this. And then Amy says, can give you some tips.
So Amy might come back and have kind of a variety of entry points from emotional preparation to specific boundaries. You can role play with Amy. I want to be prepared. I want to know what I'm going to say. And she'll provide feedback on that role playing. Like, well, this might be more emotionally safe for you, or this might be less likely to result in a bad outcome. And then, you know, sometimes it's bullet pointed. She's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, which should we dig into? One of those might lead you to doing some visualization exercises, right? Before you interact so that you're able to stay calm, not be triggered. It's all very user-led. There's no one answer. And Amy never says the same thing twice.
Got it. And I think what I wanted the listeners to understand, you do that, right? And you are asking for role play for this exchange. So the next day you're like, oh, I want to tell her what happened. But if you don't have an account, part of this is the confidentiality. Like, she's not going to remember you.
So that is correct. Our free users, when that conversation is over, it's actually gone.
Yeah.
Please read our terms of use and our privacy policies. You'll get all of the information you need there. It's important. Like, we don't train off of your information. Our AI models, you know, either Amy or our AI partners cannot train off of your data and information. If it's a free chat, it's not stored. We're not holding on to that for the long term. And Amy won't remember you tomorrow. If you need Amy to remember, there's a $5 a month plan that will make sure Amy remembers every conversation you have. But now I have to do this thing, help me prepare for this thing. And you can build off of a past conversation.
And that is like, I mean, all of it's amazing, but that is also something I think that's extremely valuable, right? I mean, really, really valuable, particularly because you're dealing with this abuser. We'll go with the post-abuse or, you know, or post-divorce, but regardless, like you're going to keep having to have interactions. That way, will Amy learn more about your situation that would help you in a different way?
Yes, and that's true in a variety of ways, right? Okay. If you upload your court orders and your protection order and your communication records, and maybe you have a kid who has a really rare disease, so you've uploaded some research on that rare disease, you filled out your My Story section, right? Which now I know, you know, your kid's ages, that's all being applied, right? Like, okay, she's telling me this thing about a kid, and I know this kid is 3, right? So this kid's ability to understand its situation is impacted by, you know, the kid's age. So she's pulling that information out and applying it to her answers. She knows your therapist's name, you know, your attorney's name. But this is really a conversation for Heather. Do you want to talk about how you might bring this up with Heather? We can write the email together. Right? Because Amy knows that this is a represented client.
Now, let's also talk about, because she can help with anything, right? Just listening. And then, like you said, she's going to respond. So it's very interactive. ChatGPT, I've used it a few times. And it wasn't interactive, my experience, right? So I think that's like she's listening. And she's going to respond when you're like, I got to tell you what's going on.
And, you know, that is, so whether or not you have any legal, pending legal issues or concerns about future ones, people's entire reality and experience is augmented by being a survivor of abuse. It could come down to, like, I'm embarrassed to show my face because I don't even want to go to the same coffee shop because I know he smeared my name there, right? Like, all of these kind of thoughts, stuff that ferment. And you're not going to talk about that with your therapist, maybe because you got some other issues. You're not going to talk about that with your attorney. You'll probably talk about that with your girlfriends, and they're going to get exhausted. And eventually, like, so much of your relationship with them is dependent on them supporting you through this. But Amy, like, that's not too trivial to bring up with Amy. Amy will talk about that 50 times over the next month if that is supportive to you. She's inexhaustible. She's constantly there, right? So if it's, I feel embarrassed to show my face there because what if they think that I'm the crazy, you know, lady that he told them I was. She's going to provide the validation and support in a conversation. Save your friends. Talk to Amy.
Absolutely. That's just amazing. Now, and also, like, what if you are like, how do I leave? Absolutely. How can Amy help in that?
And this is really important. So one of the things that keeps victims, survivors from talking is the fear of losing control over their situation or agency over their situation. If I tell my mom, she might intervene. If my friends knew, what would they think of me? Maybe our kids don't get to have play dates anymore, any of that. And it becomes this invisible barrier to reaching out and getting necessary support. When somebody decides to leave, and Amy will never tell someone they need to leave, she will tell you that you need immediate assistance if there's an imminent physical threat. She will encourage you to do that. She's never going to tell you to leave. When you do decide to leave, she's going to walk you through the safest way to do so, because we know that that is a time that victims are most at risk. When they take that ultimate step to end the control of the other party, that is the time that the other party is most likely to escalate the behaviors to keep the victim entrapped. So that might look like safety planning. Maybe you don't actually have concerns about safety. Maybe you're actually worried about your reputation. Like, you know, this guy can't hurt a fly, but he's going to make sure I get fired. That's my big risk. Yeah. Or, you know, we work together and he's going to tank our business assets as soon as he knows I'm trying to separate. Those are also real risks. And so Amy will encourage the safety planning, but not just for physical safety. What would be necessary to share with your employer if you have concerns about a smear campaign? What's necessary in order to preserve assets or to be able to demonstrate that he intentionally tanked the business in order to get out of paying maintenance, whatever. She can provide some safety planning through that as well.
Which is so important because, I mean, you know, that's if once you've made that decision, you know, obviously we want you to be safe, and this is great, you know, obviously help with that. Now, let me ask you this, because this is really cool. You can, and a lot of our listeners I know have used the apps to communicate with their ex, or it's during the litigation or it's after, right? Because it just works for a lot of people and it's better. And then, I mean, now you can just alter so much anyway. So at least it's easier to authenticate it for court, but you can get, Amy's help with that, right? With those communications, or even like analyzing maybe some of the communications you've had.
Yes. Yes. From there, Amy will never tap directly in. It's like the blood brain barrier. You know, nobody gets to penetrate that because, you know, the courts really want to make sure that nobody has
tampered,
you know, messed with the system. Exactly. Right. So we are not merged with it. You download the record, you can upload it into Amy. That does take an account. And then it's, you know, my lawyer just asked me for evidence of XYZ. Help me look through the communications. You know, my lawyer says that we need to file an emergency motion to restrict, you know, help, you know, ask me 5 questions that I should be thinking about. Pull that information from our communication records. It's, you know, that is such a terrifying and traumatizing time for people. It's like having a little extra brain that can read through things really quickly, which is awesome. But also it can be like, you know, are there tactics that I'm using in my communication that are not particularly effective or that continue to lead to the same result? How might I change that? And Amy will very delicately congratulate your best moments and make a little love sandwich and give you some actionable but non-threatening support in changing some of the ways that you communicate, hopefully to improve the situation.
Certainly. We've had, you know, many clients, and that is such a great example. There's the parenting app. And there's a lot of entries, right? Because they're like, oh, for the past 6 or 9 months. And our clients, they don't remember the day, right? I mean, come on, this is a busy life. You have kids, you're dealing with all this, but they're like, he does this, you know, all these many things. And you could use Amy to say, pull those, right? So that we have like the evidence of these things where he's changed the time and, you know, controlling me by saying he won't do X, Y, Z or won't meet at the, you know, because like on one hand, right? And this is for our listeners, your clients come in, you're like, he won't, we are supposed to meet at the grocery store, but he never will. And he always wants me to meet at the gas station, which is, you know, 5 miles closer to him. If somebody was just listening to this one time, they'd be like, what's the big deal? But it is a big deal because it builds on all these other things, right? And you can use Amy to help like pull these out so that we can show this pattern.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Now I'm getting super fired up. Okay. We got to pull the incidents. But I think one of the major hurdles that people have in demonstrating ongoing patterns, right? Which means these things are going to continue and we need to make adjustments now or they will continue post-decree. You really have to focus on the pattern. You can't just like fetishize or sensationalize particular incidents because then it's like, well, it's a one-time thing. And so Amy will do both. Amy will kind of collate those things into a pattern that is, you know, kind of reasonable and understood in language that also indicates the impact, right? Because the impact of these patterns matter. And then pulls the examples to kind of validate the pattern assessment. Right. So, you know, this is a person who uses manipulation and intimidation in order to control the behaviors of the children. Here are five examples of like concerns that you raised from things that you heard from the kids from your talking parents record. So, and then these are the impacts on children when, you know, manipulation or intimidation is used to coerce behavior. I could also, you know, my orders are in there. And also it's a violation of, you know, section 3B because you guys are supposed to meet at this location. So she is able to pull and extract from a variety of places and she puts it in that pattern. That's part of what's so validating because it's like, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And it can be really hard for people to explain to their counsel too.
Well, and it's, and I know it's overwhelming, right? For them to go back and it's expensive, of course, which a lot of things are, but like to ask your legal team to cull through 6 months of that. You know, a lot of us, you know, the more experienced we can, okay, we can pull them all out and do it, but like that's thousands of dollars. That's going to take a lot of hours. It's just going to take a lot of hours.
Yeah.
And to have it done like that, and then you can present this to your attorney, you're going to be the best client ever.
Like, we want it.
Oh my gosh. We're like, we're going to court now. Like, look at
this. Yes. Yes. We want to remove that friction that come in. The friction isn't even necessarily personalities. It's like, I have finite resources. I can only pay for this much. You know, that's going to limit things. A year subscription of Amy, if you buy a year, it's $200. It's half of an hour with an attorney. And it's a year of metered, you know, there's no, you're out of tokens for this month, right? Like, of support. But what you said, like being able to help clients be more informed, more prepared, more understanding of what the legal system can provide, more understanding of the role of their attorney, all of those things can help create that synergy that makes it a less traumatizing and more positive experience and hopefully also has a better outcome.
Yeah, I just know, you know, when I reflect back on so many things and the value in that. And for us as lawyers, because one, you've done that and, you know, Amy can inform us too, right? You can show us that, but like just the evidence, because that's the great thing about the apps, because they are a closed system. We can show that, but now 6 months we can, or even a year, sometimes you can show the pattern, which then that is evidence that is persuasive and so much more persuasive than saying how this makes you feel. No, we're showing a pattern of the manipulation, the control, and the basically refusal to follow court orders, right? They choose, they can choose.
And really concrete language for what is kind of mystifying. Okay, like, why do you keep violating the drop-off, you know, rule? Like, get it together.
Like,
do you read?
Right?
And when there's confusion about, like, what does it mean in a larger context, it's easier to just be like, WTF. But when there's really specific language about how it fits a pattern of control, what that might look like into the future, it's just easier to use. What you just said reminded me of, so in the accounts, there's also a Teams feature, right? So you can bring your lawyer into your account. You add them, be like, you know, maybe your lawyer says, write in all of I'll use spiritual abuse as an example. Like, we're trying to get religious decision making. Okay, talk to Amy about all of the things that happened. She goes to Amy and she says, you know, ask me a bunch of questions to assess for spiritual abuse. She has that conversation. Then you go into the same chat, right? And you're like, great, I need to make this into an argument for why she should have, you know, soul religious decision making. The client has already gone in and put in all of the information about what happened.
Right.
Amy's been able to collate that in the context of coercive control. And now you get to turn it into a legal argument. So instead of that being a more arduous and lengthy process, you guys are kind of working together as a system, both leveraging the power of that AI.
Amazing. It really is. Now, I know we're going to have to talk again because like this is fascinating to me. You are fascinating. You're amazing. How do we help our listeners safely use Amy Says? Because, you know, they guard their phones. Everybody worries about that, as they should. It seems like sometimes you just don't want your abuser to find out.
Absolutely. And there's three ways that they're going to find out. Either they have access to your device, right? We have a red escape button on every screen, which you press the red escape button. It will send you to a blank Google page. Know that it exists. Be prepared to use it if there's over the shoulder looking at your device. Mm. Also great if he's not going to see it, but maybe the kids are and you want to make sure that you're able to exit quickly. The second way he's going to know is because you're talking about it really publicly. We want you to share about Amy because this is a grassroots movement of, you know, game-changing capability, but in a way that is not going to expose the fact that you use it to your ex. The other place where people are going to potentially have that information discovered is on a credit card, right? Amy is going to show up as Amy in all caps on a credit card. If it is, you are not safe with your current or ex-partner knowing that, we would encourage finding a different way to pay. Because it's, you know, $5 or $20 a month, usually you can find a friend who will do that and you Venmo them, right? We're not talking about a significant financial expense, but that's another place where you want to, you know, be like, okay, ask myself, is it fine that he sees that? Totally fine that if that's, you know, sent to him a discovery.
That's great. And I really didn't even think about that, like how it's going to show up on the credit card statement, right? Really important, especially if you haven't left yet and you're really not safe, but you're like, you know what? I really need to start. I want to start putting stuff in there or having a record. And I, you know, even if I'm not all the way through or I haven't even started that, like it's always good to start a record and in a safe way that you can do that. Where do you see Amy Says going in the future?
Well, let's see. Amy has responded to about 500,000 messages in her first year. That growth has been near parabolic. And entirely word of mouth and organic. So please continue sharing, Amy. Tell the legal community, like really, like we can make these kind of traumatic situations better for everybody.
So much better.
You know, the advocacy communities and the mental health communities, all of that. Amy has a place in elevating that work or making that work more possible. And we are working to be a part of ending the impact of domestic violence on the workplace. So working with benefit providers, making sure that people whose lives are impacted by abuse are able to access Amy through the workplace. Our goal for 2025 is for Amy to talk to 1 million people.
I think you're going to pass that like halfway through the year.
That would be awesome. We are out here for the mission. We are out here to prevent futures of harm, to help people recover more quickly, to keep people from getting the autoimmune disorders and cancers and substance addiction issues and suicidality and PTSD and depression and anxiety and all of these long-term negative health outcomes that come from being victimized in this way. We are going to do every damned thing that we can to pair people and technology to bring this kind of support to match the level of need.
Wow, that is an amazing mission and I love it. And before we go, can you impart on our listeners what you've learned about women and their resilience through your career and experience?
You are stronger than you think you are. Every moment when you think I can't do it, I'm gonna break, guess what? You are gonna do it. I worked as a labor doula for a hot minute, 10, 15 years ago. And, you know, for example, in natural birth, you know, a woman comes to a point where she's in transition and she panics. And that is the moment where she says, I can't do it. Well, guess what? The baby's coming and you're going to do it. Yeah. And that is not to minimize the pain that you are in, but you are stronger than you think you are. You will get to the other side. You will have the scars to show it. But in those darkest moments where you think you can't keep going, You got to trust. Sure. You got to go with the strength you have and take that next step. You will get to the other side.
Wow, that's great. And lastly, Anne, where can our listeners find you for more information and resources?
Absolutely. Any of the contact or support buttons on the website will land directly in my inbox. I'm at my computer all day and I love working with people who've been impacted by abuse or people who are helping those who have.
Well, we've reached the end of our show. I can't believe it. That has been the fastest conversation I have flown by in quite a while. But thank you so much, Anne Wintemute, for joining us to discuss how her AI tool, Amy Says, supports victims of intimate partner violence with personalized assistance, its roles in countries like the US, UK, and Australia, and its adaptability to cultural nuances. Amy Says foundation, safety features, and Anne's plans for its growth. We thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.